to glory land. It won't be long until I take the hand of Jesus Christ with a great big smile. We'll sit right down and talk a while. Talk a while about the things we've
Charles Watson was born again on May 23, 1975, at the California Men's Colony. His transformation can best be described as amazing grace. Here's one of his messages from his early years of ministry.
Until I see the man, the Prince of Peace.
Now tonight we're going to study on the subject of hospitality. In this class, we go into practical Christianity, things that we can put into practice in our life. And one thing that we need to put into practice in our life is hospitality. Now, in the Old Testament, we see that there's no actual word for hospitality. Matter of fact, hospitality is only used in the Bible four times, and that's in the New Testament by Paul, and also one time by Peter. But in the Old Testament, we see that hospitality is often used by example. In other words, men were expressing hospitality to one another in the Old Testament, even though the word wasn't used. I looked up this word in the Zondervan Encyclopedia, and this is what it said. Just listen to me for a second. It said, hospitality in the ancient Near East played an important role in the tribes. The different tribes of the time, the tribes were giving hospitality and being hospitable to one another, and also in domestic life. In other words, in the life just from day-to-day living, people would be hospitable in the Old Testament. And it was more of a duty in the Old Testament. It was a duty for them to be to show hospitality to one another. And in the desert, where there wasn't a lot of homes, it was a necessity that the people would show hospitality, would give water to one another, would invite strangers in and feed them, give them shelter, and even at times give them protection against someone that might be chasing them. This definition went on to say in the Zondervan Encyclopedia, it said, by it, the stranger or the weary traveler found rest, food, shelter, and asylum, or protection. It was actually protection for 3 days, for 3 days. It is supported by the thought that the host himself, or in other words, the one giving the hospitality, might someday be a stranger and possibly need this hospitality himself. In other words, he gave hospitality because he thought one day he might need hospitality too. Amen? Well, anyway, in the New Testament, we find out that we give hospitality out of love and not just because we might need it someday ourselves. In the Old Testament also, it was thought that the one that they were showing hospitality to might be a person sent from God. Might be one that's divinely sent. So therefore, they didn't want to make a mistake and not show someone that was divinely sent or an angel from God hospitality. And in the Old Testament, there's numerous Bible stories of people giving hospitality. So many that we don't have time to go into them all tonight. But it would be good that you go and read the ones in the Old Testament, the stories in the Old Testament that shows how they gave hospitality to strangers. Now, like I said again, let me review, and as you see on the overhead projector, in the Old Testament, hospitality was more of a duty, more of a tribal duty, or a duty between one person and the other. It was also protection for 3 days in the Old Testament. It was a place, what a person would do to give a man rest and shelter and food and asylum. Now also we see this found in the Old Testament. If you'd write these scriptures down here, you can read them later on. When you get home, you can write these scriptures down and go and read them. and what the Bible says about hospitality. And those scriptures are found in Genesis 18, 1 to 8. Write that down. You might remember where the three angels came to Abraham, and Abraham showed those three angels hospitality. He fed them. He even gave them a hot meal, a bread, and he showed those angels hospitality. Then again, in Genesis 19, 1 to 11, Lot showed hospitality to a couple of angels that came into the city of Sodom. He invited them into his house and showed them hospitality. Also, in Genesis 24, 11 through 61. Then in Exodus 2:20, Judges 13, 15. Again in Judges 19, chapter 19, 16 through 24. 1 Kings 4, 22. And also 1 Kings 10, 4. Nehemiah 5, 17. Job 31, 32, 2 Samuel 9, 7, and 2 Kings 4, 8. You need to write all those down. And if you really care about the hospitality that was shown in the Old Testament, you need to go and read every one of those. Hospitality in the Old Testament. But basically what I want to cover tonight is hospitality in the New Testament. And that hospitality which we need to show as a Christian. Amen? We actually need to show hospitality as a Christian. Now, in the New Testament, this word is found four times in the New Testament. Now, the Greek word for hospitality is philokinia. It's P-H-I-L-O. X-E-N-I-A. You can call it philokinia or philokinia. Now, the words that this one word here represents is philo and kinia. And the word philo is actually a word that means love, love. And then the word kinia, X-E-N-I-A, means stranger. So therefore, you can see what hospitality means. It means love a stranger. Love a stranger. Expressing love to a stranger. You know, sometimes it's maybe even hard for us to express our love to someone that's a very close friend, much less a stranger. But the type of hospitality that we're talking about in the New Testament is not one out of duty. It's not one that we have to do out of duty. It's not a type of hospitality that we do just because one day we might need hospitality ourselves. It is hospitality that is done out of love, out of being born of love, philokinia or philokinia, love a stranger. That's what hospitality means. It could also mean entertain. It means to bring someone into your home that you don't even know and entertain them and express love to them. And like I say, this word is only used four times in the New Testament. And we'll be going into each one of those times that it's used. But first of all, I wanted to bring out in Luke 2:7. In Luke 2:7, where Jesus himself was shown hospitality. Hospitality. And I think you'll remember that this is during the time of the birth of Jesus. Mary was pregnant. They were having to go into another city, into Bethlehem, where Jesus could be born. And we find in the scriptures, in Luke 2, that there wasn't any room in the inn. There wasn't any room left in the inn for them to go and get a room. But in verse number 7, it says, "And she, Mary, brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn." The one that owned that manger, or the one that owned that barn, showed hospitality to Mary, and because they showed that hospitality, Jesus had a place to lay his head. Mary had a place to bring forth the Son of God, and because she allowed that to happen, salvation came into the world. But not only Mary allowed that seed to be born in her, Jesus Christ, but now someone else had received Jesus into their home. So you see that hospitality plays a big part all through the Scriptures, even though it's not mentioned as such by the word hospitality. Hospitality and showing hospitality brings forth blessings. Amen? Brings forth blessings. When we show hospitality, we're going to be blessed. Amen? Going to be blessed. Showing hospitality. Matter of fact, the Scriptures say, "Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give unto your bosom." That's found in Luke 6:38, by the way. Also, in Luke 10:34, we see hospitality again expressed. Not the word as such, but in Luke 10:34, we see hospitality shared with someone else by the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan, you'll recall, was the one that came along and found the man that needed help. And in Luke 10:34, it says, "And went to him," talking about the Good Samaritan, "went to him and bound up his wounds," the one that was hurting, "pouring in oil and wine, and he set him on his own beast, and he brought him to an inn and took care of him." He showed hospitality, amen? And it goes on down into verse 35 and 35b, or the second part of that scripture. And it says that that man gave the innkeeper orders, saying, "Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee." Now that Good Samaritan was showing hospitality, wasn't he? He was loving a stranger. And remember, that word philokinia means love a stranger, or entertaining a stranger. Also, we find Jesus availing himself to hospitality in Luke chapter 19. You might remember this story of Jesus coming into the city of Jericho, and there was one there called Zacchaeus. And in Luke 19, beginning with verse number 5, I just want to briefly read you this story about Zacchaeus showing hospitality to Jesus. I'll tell you what, when you show hospitality to Jesus, you're going to be blessed. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. Now that just sort of led me right there, right into another scripture that I want to share with you in a second. But remember that when you show hospitality to Jesus, you're going to be blessed. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Look at this. In verse 5, it says, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste." Zacchaeus was up in a tree. Amen? He said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." In other words, he says, "Hey, today I must abide, I must come and live, I must come and settle down in your house." Amen? Jesus talking to Zacchaeus. And it says, "And he made haste, and he came down, and he received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And when he saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, The half of my goods I will give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house. This day salvation, deliverance is come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save which was lost. Zacchaeus gave hospitality to Jesus, and salvation came to his house. Brothers, when you show hospitality, blessings come upon your life. Amen. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Over in Matthew, I want to show you a scripture that I didn't even plan on showing you tonight. Over in Matthew, chapter 25, verse number 40, talking about this hospitality, showing hospitality to Jesus, and a blessing coming from showing hospitality to Jesus. It says, and the king shall answer and say unto them, in verse 40 of chapter 25 of Matthew, verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Jesus says, you have showed hospitality unto me if you show it unto the very least of the brethren. Amen. Amen. When you show hospitality to one another, you're showing hospitality to Jesus. Amen. And a blessing will come to your life. Salvation came to Zacchaeus' household. Amen. Because he showed Jesus hospitality, you begin to show hospitality to one another, and you're showing hospitality to Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Inasmuch as you have done it to the very least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me, Jesus says. Amen? Amen. I like that. We have other examples of hospitality in the New Testament, some that I won't go into and make a big thing out of tonight. But Jesus fed the 5,000 in Mark 6 and 8. Mark 6 and 8. Jesus fed the 5,000. I will not go into that. In Mark chapter 6 and in Mark chapter 8. Then the disciples were treated with hospitality. In Mark or Matthew 10, if you turn there with me, I do want to go into that. Matthew 10. The disciples were given hospitality. So far in this message tonight, I'm just kind of giving you a warm-up, a brief review of where hospitality is in the Old Testament and in the Gospels. But the major portion of this message, I would like to come out of Paul's writings. But before we do, in the Gospels here, again, in Matthew 10, verse number 8, it says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses. In other words, Jesus was sending forth the disciples to heal. Amen. Said, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet stays, for the workman is worthy of his meat. In other words, they were being sent out with almost nothing. Amen. Jesus says that because of your ministry and because of your work for me, you're worthy of the meat of those that you're going to preach to. And it goes on to say, in whatsoever city or town you shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till you go hence. And when you come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace be upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall receive you, nor hear your words. Excuse me. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. Do you see what happened here? Peace comes to a house that gives hospitality. Amen? It says here, and if the house be worthy, in verse 13, let your peace come upon it. Amen? What makes you worthy? What makes a house worthy? Making a house worthy is showing hospitality. Brother, in verse 13 again, let me say, it says, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. Amen? Amen? Glory to God. Brother, you receive a blessing when you show hospitality to others, especially men of God. Amen? You receive peace for it, it says here. But if it be not worthy, in other words, if it don't show hospitality to you, what's going to happen? Let your peace return to you. Amen? Go away dancing, shaking the dust off your ground, receiving all that peace. Glory to God. You're going to get the peace yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. Even though somebody's not showing hospitality to you. And it says, and whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust off your feet. Be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? Show hospitality and peace will come upon you. Glory to God. I tell you what, I don't want anything happening to me like happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen? I want to receive that peace. Show hospitality and peace and blessings will come upon your life. I believe that. It lines up with the Word. Now going into the major portion of what I want to share on tonight would begin to be found in Romans 12, 13, the Apostle Paul talking about hospitality, showing hospitality, showing hospitality in your life. First place in the Bible, hospitality, the actual word hospitality is found in Romans 12, verse number 13. Romans 12, 13. Christians are commanded to be given to hospitality. Commanded to be given to hospitality. And in verse number 13, it says, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. We're supposed to be given to hospitality. This is one time in the Scriptures out of four times in the New Testament that we're told to be given to hospitality. Now in the Amplified Bible, let me read it. Romans 12, 13. Contribute to the needs of God's people. Contribute. It's a command. We're commanded to be and to show hospitality. Contribute to the needs of God's people, sharing in the necessities of the saints, pursuing the practice of hospitality. We're to not only contribute to the needs of God's people and to share in the necessities of the saints and to give and to love the stranger, but we are to pursue the practice of hospitality. Pursue the practice of it. Pursue the practice of it. That means to just go out of your way to see who you can be good to. Amen? Who you can show love to, who you can give to, because you're going to receive a blessing. Amen? You show hospitality and a blessing, just like came to Zacchaeus, just like salvation and a blessing came to his house. Brother, peace and salvation, deliverance, and a blessing will come to your house. Amen? Because if you receive that stranger, if you receive the very least, it's just like receiving Jesus. Amen? Glory to God. Can you remember the peace that came upon you when you received Jesus as your personal Savior? Glory to God. I tell you, when you show hospitality, that same peace which you found when Jesus came into your life will just flood your entire being when you begin to express hospitality. See, hospitality comes forth from the Spirit. Amen? That love that Jesus wants you to show, that hospitality is a practical outward act that comes out of your body and out of your actions. Amen? Amen. But hospitality and that love is down in your spirit. But your old mind would want to say, oh, don't invite him home with you, man. He'll get your bathtub dirty. He'll get your towels dirty. It's going to be all kinds of work. He's going to eat you out of house and home. Amen. That's what your old mind would want to say. Amen. When you started saying that, that hospitality wouldn't show forth, would it? That love wouldn't come out. It would quench. The way you think would quench the hospitality and the love from coming out of your life that was down in there. Amen. But if you look to the Word and you say, the Word says that I'm to contribute to hospitality, I'm to pursue hospitality, I am to show hospitality to strangers, I'm to love strangers, and I'm going to pursue it and I'm going to go do it. Amen? And I'm not going to let the devil tell me not to. I'm going to love strangers. Amen? I'm going to pursue it. Glory to God. I'm going to do what the Word says. Amen. And not only be a hearer of the Word, but a doer of the Word too. And allow that love to come out of my life. Amen. And begin to be practical. Begin to practice it in my life. Hospitality. Practicing hospitality. Pursuing the practice of hospitality. The Amplified Bible. Webster's Dictionary says this. Hospitality is the act or practice. It's an actual practice. It's a physical practice. Amen. Or act or quality of receiving and entertaining strangers. Of actually receiving and entertaining a stranger. Or a gift in a friendly and generous way. In a friendly and generous way. Like you might be out church on the street, say, and all of a sudden some stranger will come to your church there, and you'll see that his spirit bears witness with your spirit, and Lord may even say he has a need and show you that he has a need. You go up to him and you say, hey brother, can I help you in any way? Might begin to start sharing their problems to you, and all of a sudden you take the person home and feed him a meal and get him on his way. Amen. Show hospitality to him. Glory to God. Let me read that again. Hospitality is the act, Webster says, or practice, or quality of receiving and entertaining strangers or gifts in a friendly and generous way. Praise God. And we are commanded to use hospitality in our life. Now, another place that hospitality is used is in 1 Peter 4:9. 1 Peter 4:9, the second place in the New Testament, the actual word hospitality is used, is in 1 Peter 4:9. Again, let me say that the word hospitality is only used in the New Testament, not used in the Old Testament. There are many examples of hospitality in the Old Testament, but the actual word is only used 4 times in the New Testament. First in Romans 12:13, second in 1 Peter 4:9. It says this, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. How about that? Without grudging. Where is that grudge? That grudge would be located in your mind. Amen? That grudge. Or that reluctance. Grudge is a reluctance. It's a reluctance to give. It's a reluctance to give. Or a reluctance to give. Or to love. Amen? That's what I mean to say. It's a reluctance to love. Amen?
Amen.
And you're not to give grudgingly or use hospitality grudgingly. Now, where would that grudge come from? That grudge would come from Satan, right? He'd try to plant a seed in your mind and say, don't give. Don't use hospitality. You're to look back to him and you say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get be behind me. I'm going to live by the word alone. I'm going to let this word rule my life. And the word says to use hospitality. You devil, and you get out of here right now in the name of Jesus of Nazareth, because I'm going to use hospitality in my life.
Amen.
Amen. See, it says use hospitality one to another without grudging. Without grudging. In the Amplified, this is what it says. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Amen? See, hospitality is a practice. Amen? We have to practice it in our life. It's not just going to happen. Amen? If anything's going to happen, just happen, you're going to take all your goodies and bag them up and don't share them with anybody. Amen? But it says to practice hospitality in the Amplified Bible. To one another, that is, those of the household of faith. Then it says, be hospitable. That is, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guest, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way who are of Christ's body. And in each instance, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously without complaining, but as representing Him. Boy, I tell you, that's a long version there just for one scripture, isn't it? Let me read that to you again. That's the Amplified Bible. That's good. It says, practice hospitality to one another, that is, those of the household of faith. Be hospitable, that is, be a lover of strangers with brotherly affection for the unknown guest, the foreigners, the poor, and all others who come your way who are of Christ's body. And in each instant, do it ungrudgingly, cordially, and graciously, without complaining, but as representing Him.
Amen.
In other words, represent Jesus to those strangers that come to you. Amen?
Amen?
And don't do it grudgingly. Jesus never does anything grudgingly. Amen? Do it as Zacchaeus did. Amen?
Amen.
Do it as the one that owned the manger back in Luke 2:7. And allow Jesus to come in. Allow strangers in the body of Christ to come into your life just as you allowed Jesus Christ to come into your life. Amen? That's what it's all about. Jesus said, amen, Matthew 25:40, that just as you've done it to the least of those, you're doing it to me. Amen? So allow strangers to come into your life just as you allowed Jesus Christ to come into your life. Over in 1 Timothy 3:2, we see the word hospitality a third time in the New Testament used by Paul. 1 Timothy 3:2. Hospitality is a requirement of a minister. He must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, and apt to teach. 1 Timothy 3:2. A bishop must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, given to love of a stranger, given to the love of a stranger. Again, in the Amplified Bible, let me read that. 1 Peter 3:2. It says that he must be hospitable, showing love for and being a friend to the believers, especially strangers and foreigners. Being a friend. Showing love. In 5:10 of this same book here, in 1 Timothy 5:10, it talks about the woman's ministry. Now it says this, well reported of for good works. If she have brought up children, if she have lodged strangers, see? If she have washed the saints' feet, if she have relieved the afflicted, if she have diligently followed every good work. He's talking about the widow. The widow, in other words, does good works when she shows hospitality. And it says here, lodged strangers. Lodged strangers. The fourth place that this word hospitality is used in the New Testament is Titus 1:8. Titus 1:8. This is a good one here. In Titus 1:8 it says, but a lover of hospitality. Talking about the qualification of a minister, he must be a lover of hospitality. A lover of good men, sober, just, holy, and temperate. Have self-control. A lover of hospitality. I like that. In other words, not only use hospitality and practice hospitality, but actually love hospitality. Amen? Put it into practice in your life. It says here in the Amplified, Titus 1:8, but he must be hospitable, loving, and a friend to believers, especially to the strangers and foreigners. Loving and a friend to the believers. Glory to God. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hospitality is especially, as we have seen, is to be shown to strangers, to the poor, and even to your enemies. Amen? These four places are the only four places that the word hospitality is used in the New Testament. Let me say again. Romans 12:13, 1 Peter 4:9, 1 Timothy 3:2, and Titus 1:8. Brother, those are commands to you. Not something you can do only if you feel like doing, or only if you don't have a grudge to do, but it says that you are to actually do hospitality. Amen? Be a lover of hospitality. Now let's look at a few other places here that are examples of hospitality, which does not actually mention the word, but in Hebrews 13, beginning with verse number 1, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Amen?
Amen.
Be not forgetful. In other words, don't you forget, brother, to entertain strangers. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. You say, Charles, why do you preach on something like hospitality? That sure is a dead subject. I'd sure like to hear you preach on something a little bit liver than that. Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to get you down to where the rubber meets the road. Amen? The rubber meets the road in what we do in showing hospitality. I need it more in my life, and you need it more in your life. And when you get out, and even in here, there are areas in our life to where we can practice hospitality in our life right now. It says here, be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware. How do you know you're not entertaining an angel unaware? Uh-huh. Abraham sure did. Lot sure did. Those scriptures are located over in Genesis. We already went through those tonight. Hope you go home and read them later on. In Luke 14:13, we read another example of hospitality here. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed. Hallelujah. That's what we said tonight, wasn't it? Brother, when you show hospitality, you're going to be blessed. Because when you show hospitality to strangers and even the least, you're doing it unto Jesus. And when you do it unto Jesus, you're going to be blessed. Zacchaeus was blessed to receive salvation from receiving Jesus into his life. Brother, when you're receiving those strangers, you're receiving Jesus Christ into your life. Amen?
Amen.
And you're going to be blessed receiving strangers into your life. Thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just, glory to God, at the resurrection of the righteous. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Brother, God sees everything we do. Amen?
Amen.
He knows if we're putting hospitality into practice in our life or not. In Romans 12:20, another example of hospitality. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Amen. Glory to the living God. I just got to read that over here in the Amplified. Listen to this. It says, but if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. It says about the same thing as in the King James. Hospitality is commanded throughout the Scriptures. Throughout the Scriptures. The Old Testament, as we said, it's a duty. In the New Testament, it is an actual command to you. In 3 John, beginning with verse number 5, John wrote to Gaius. In 3 John, beginning with verse number 5, John writing to Gaius said this, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And to strangers. And also verse 6, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well. Amen. Thou shalt do well. Brother, if you want to do well, entertain strangers. Bring them on their journey after a godly manner or a godly sort, and you'll do well. If you want to do well in your Christian life, show hospitality and you'll be blessed. Give and it will be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men heap into your bosom. Luke 6:38. We read all the way through the Bible of hospitality. Men showing hospitality to one another. In Acts, in the New Testament, writings of Luke in Acts 28, Paul was journeying. If you recall, he had shipwreck. They landed on this island called Miletus in Acts 28. Verse number 2, this is what it says, and the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. It says they showed no little kindness. In other words, they didn't lack in their kindness. They didn't lack in the hospitality. Even the barbarous people showed hospitality. See, hospitality, as we've already said tonight in the Old Testament, was a duty. People were hospitable to one another because it was a duty. But now, we shouldn't do it just as a duty, but we should do it because we're born of God. The love of God is down inside of us. And we need to express it and to put it into practice in our life. And be and do things for one another just like we're doing it to Jesus. Because you're the body of Christ and now I need to treat you as I would treat Jesus. And I need to receive Him into my home. And you into my home as the same. Amen? As the same. As the same into our life. We lack in this, but we're growing. We're growing. We're becoming more hospitable in our ways. In the same chapter, in verse number 7, it says this, in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. He lodged Paul and the men that had landed on that island and come safe to land for 3 days and showed courteousness unto them. Then over in Acts, another place in the New Testament where hospitality is shown in Acts 9, in verse number 43, 9:43, It says, and it came to pass that he tarried, Peter tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Peter coming down into Joppa, Simon the tanner asked him into his home. He stayed there with him 3 days. That's an example of hospitality. And then we know that Cornelius began to hear from the Lord as Peter there was in Joppa. And he sent a couple of guys down to Joppa to get Peter. And they brought him back to Cornelius' house. And as we read here in Acts 10, beginning with verse number 5, it says, and now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. They went down to get Peter to come to Cornelius' house. And then in verse number 23 of Acts 10, it says, Then called he them in, and he lodged them. Then called he them in. It's kind of hard to read there, isn't it? That's real King James, isn't it? Amen. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. In other words, Peter, what he did, he called the men that came down to get him from Cornelius' house. He called them in and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. The picture is this. The two guys that came down to get Peter at Simon the Tanner's house came up, knocked on the door. Peter said, yes, I'm Peter. He invited them in. They stayed all night there. And then all of a sudden, the next morning, they got up and they went to Cornelius' house. Amen. In other words, he lodged them there overnight and showed them hospitality. Then if you continue to read down from beginning with verse number 34, it says, then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, perceive that God is no respecter of persons. And this is what happened here. Listen to this. This is the point. That Cornelius received Peter into his house. He showed Peter hospitality. And then what happened from that? What happened from that? Peter got saved. Now, not Peter, but Cornelius got saved. And then Cornelius also got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. Because Cornelius invited Peter into his house, heard the gospel message, received the Holy Ghost, brother, he got blessed, didn't he? He got blessed from showing hospitality. See, Cornelius was listening to God. And God said, hey, Cornelius, send your men over there. Send your men over there and get Peter, bring him over here to your house. He's got something to say to you, amen? And I tell you what Peter had to say, bless them. You'll find strangers that you'll take into your home that are members of the body of Christ that will give you just as much blessing as you're giving them. Amen? Glory to God. You might be at church some night and all of a sudden this Holy Ghost preacher will come along. Amen? Not have a place to stay overnight and you take him home with you. And brother, you might be sick. He'll lay hands on you, get baptized in the Holy Ghost, get healed and get everything, man. And say, woo! Boy, I was blessed, amen, because you're showing hospitality. Amen. Because you're being open to receive a man of God, a stranger, someone you don't even know. But you know what? That person that you don't even know has Jesus living inside of them. And when you ask them to come into your home, brother, you got a blessing there because Jesus is a blessing. Also in Acts 16 is the next scripture. 14 to 15, we see hospitality expressed in the New Testament again. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, worshiped God. She heard us. In other words, she heard Paul preaching, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. The word was being spoken by Paul. Lydia received that word, and when she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." And she constrained us. Amen. Amen. Brother, she received the word of God from Paul and got saved. That's how the church at Philippi got started when Lydia got saved. Amen. Amen. And what happened here, she invited them into her house. But what was the prerequisite that she put on it? Look at that. It said, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there." She must have knew that she needed to be faithful to the Lord before they would come and abide in her house. Amen. When I'm talking about lodging and showing hospitality to strangers, I don't mean go down and get some crook that's carrying a 45 and bring him home with you and let you rob him, rob you. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about that. As we've looked through the scriptures here, we've seen that the word says that you show hospitality to believers, to those that are Christians, to those that have Jesus living inside of them. I'm talking about showing hospitality to some crook. Amen. I'm talking about some showing hospitality to somebody that's received Jesus inside of them. Otherwise, you're going to be letting Satan right into your house. Amen. Like somebody coming up to your door with a bag of rattlesnakes saying, "Can I leave this bag here?" "Oh, yeah, just let that bag just right out there on the carpet. Man, go ahead and unloose that string and let them crawl out." Amen. That's about what you're doing. Amen. I'm talking about showing hospitalities to a stranger, but that stranger is in the body of Christ. That stranger has Jesus inside of him. Amen. That stranger is a believer. That stranger is in the body of Christ. That stranger is part of you. Amen. That stranger has Jesus living inside of him. And when you allow Jesus to come in your house, brother, you're going to be blessed. Amen. Going to be blessed. We need to practice that. You're going to be blessed by Jesus. You're going to be blessed by that stranger. You're going to be a blessing to that stranger. Glory to God. Amen. Woo! I tell you, you're inviting Jesus in. Then again, in 33 and 34 of Acts 16, after the jailer at Philippi got saved, it says, "And he took them the same hour of the night, and he washed their stripes." Peter, Paul and Silas had been beat in the Philippian jail there. And the jailer, what did he do? He got saved, didn't he?
Yeah.
And because he was saved, Peter and Silas went home with him. Amen? Amen. Tell you what, I doubt if that jailer, if he hadn't got saved, I doubt if Peter and Silas, or Paul and Silas, excuse me, would have went home with him. Amen. You don't want to go home with a jailer that's not saved. Man, he might hang you. Amen. But he went home with that saved jailer. And when they got home, it says here that that jailer washed their stripes. And the jailer got baptized. Well, both of them were getting blessed, wasn't they? Brother Paul and Silas got their stripes washed, and then Paul and Silas baptized the jailer. They were blessing one another, amen? Well, see, Jesus was inside of them. Amen. Jesus was blessing himself, praise God, amen? Glory to God. Jesus and Paul and Silas was blessing the jailer, and Jesus and the jailer was blessing Paul and Silas, man. They didn't know whether they was coming or going, man. They were blessed, glory to God. Because of hospitality. It says here, "We're baptized, he and all his. In other words, the whole household was baptized. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Boy, I tell you what, they were having a shout and hallelujah time, showing hospitality, amen, to a stranger. Then again in 18, chapter 18, 1 to 3, it says this: after these things, Paul departed from Athens or Rome and came to Corinth, and he found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy, with his wife Priscilla. Because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them, and because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation, they were tent makers. So we see hospitality shown here in this incident. And then in verse number 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So we see Paul receiving hospitality here from men that were of the same trade he was, which was a tent maker, and I believe they were saved. And then we see him receiving hospitality again in verse 7 from a man named Justus who worshiped God. Men that are believers are to show hospitality one towards another. Then again, lastly, in Acts 21, verses number 8 and 16, and the next day, I believe that means Paul and Luke, that were of Paul's company, departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, and abode with him. Paul, in other words, entered into Caesarea, and he abode with Philip the evangelist, a believer. And the same man had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. Then in verse number 16, there went with us also certain of the disciples of Caesarea, and brought with them one Manson of Cyprus, an old disciple with whom we should lodge. So we see again that they lodged another man. So the reason why I brought out all these scriptures here in Acts is so that we can see that hospitality is to be used among the brothers, among the brotherhood. Amen? Among the brotherhood. All the way through Acts, we see that men showed hospitality one towards another because they shared Jesus as their life. Amen? They were all in the body of Christ. And doing it to the least of the brethren was doing it to Jesus. Amen? Matthew 25:40. Doing it to the very least of the brethren, the brothers in the body of Christ. Even though he's a stranger, even the least is doing it unto Jesus. Amen? Believers are to show hospitality one towards another. Love even the stranger in the body of Christ. Amen? Because brother, once you open up to him and look at him, you'll see Jesus in him, and he won't be no stranger no more. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you've opened up to him and showed him hospitality. See, love and a stranger and hospitality is completely different from the Old Testament and the New Testament. In the Old Testament, they did not have a born-again experience and have Jesus living inside of them, so they were doing hospitality as a duty. You see that? But in the New Testament, brother, men were getting born again, and they were showing hospitality to one another because of the Holy Spirit that lived inside of them. Amen? Amen. And as they let that grudging, deceitful, fleshly type of thinking be removed from their mind and receive the word of God and a command from God that they should show hospitality, they begin to love one another as Jesus loved us. Scriptures say if you don't love your brother who you can see, how can you say you love God who you can't see? Amen? In other words, showing hospitality in the body of Christ. We need to practice that. Amen? Now, next week, we're going to go into another subject called loving your enemies. Loving your enemies. Now, in this class, it's a practical Christianity class. So I'm going to be preaching on practical subjects. Subjects that we can put into practice.